I was reading on the Conversation website, which, if you do not know it, is a place that if you have an interest in intelligent debate and conversation, you should look at regularly. I was reading an article by Chris Thurman, who's an associate professor in the English department at Wits University. And he was writing about how anniversaries, and there are a series of anniversaries over the last decade relating to the life and work of the South African writer and intellectual and politician Solomon T. Plaatje, how that there's been a lot more concentration on the man and his work because of this series of anniversaries. Chris, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, John. I feel like I should say, shouldn't you be going to the theatre?
I am. As soon as I say goodbye at 6 o'clock, I get into my car and I go to the theatre, and I'm there just in time for the half-hour call.
Excellent. I hope there's no traffic.
Well, thank goodness there isn't at the moment, so I should make it comfortably. Chris, I mean, over those 10 years and this renewed focus on Sol Plaatje's work, has it led to a significant rethink of aspects of his life and his work, or just a deeper understanding of what was already thought about him?
Well, I think it's both. In some ways, I realized since writing that article that I ought actually to have taken a few years further back taken the reader further back into South African history and thought about 100-year anniversaries at the beginning of the 21st century, because, of course, you know, Plaatje was a very active writer, translator, already historian. We could think of him as a kind of cultural political activist as well in the early years of the 19th century, soon after the South African War, when, of course, he was in Mafeking for the British siege there and wrote a famous account of it. So there's a sense in which as soon as one tries to document or track his life, inevitably you curtail the scope of it, historically as well as in the breadth of what he did. But I do think that for both for academics and for members of the public, there's a wealth of new material that is giving us more insight into his life and work. The main magnum opus, I guess we could say, the main point of reference is Brian Willen's biography of Plaatje that is still only a year or so old, a revised version of Willen's biography. I've described it as magisterial. I don't think that's an exaggeration. It's an astonishing piece of work. And of that, I think, will come a lot more interest in Plaatje's life and recognition of the archival material that's available. And so for academics and scholars who want to look into the publication history of his work or who want to think about the socio-political context in which he was writing, that there's a real richness there. And I think the consequence of that for South Africans is the ability to recognize the ways in which so many of the conflicts that we've encountered in the 21st century, whether those are factionalism in the ANC and, you know, the Mbeki versus Zuma conflict around Polokwane, contestation over the idea of the ANC as a kind of mass movement, a movement of the people, or, you know, the movement of the workers, as opposed to the ANC as perhaps in a kind of elitist organization. A lot of that hinges around, or those debates could be seen to hinge around, the founding members, of which Plaatje was one. And so Plaatje takes us into very interesting and difficult debates around support for imperialism early in the 20th century, which kind of goes hand in glove with resistance to some of the segregation and other forms of legislation that were introduced by the early union government.
Yeah, I mean,
these are difficult things to wrestle with.
Yeah, it's the same thing with the life of Tia Socha, the cleric in the Eastern Cape who went to Scotland,
yes,
and came back with a white wife. And it's the same as Plaatje, that there was a strong resistance to the politics of the day. He was earlier than Plaatje, but at the same time, there was a kind of affinity with the idea of empire.
Yes, very much so. And in some ways, it's unfair for us to sort of project back onto historical figures are the kinds of insights and perspectives that we have now. I mean, the same, I suppose, could be done with, you know, John Dube or Pixley Kaisaka-Seme, other founder members of what was then the SANNC. I do think on the one hand, it cautions us against being too essentialist in our claims about racial identity or about cultural politics in South Africa, and we have to recognize a much more complicated and long history. And on the other hand, it's perhaps a useful critique of some of the the forms of xenophobic nationalism that we've seen in South Africa, and a recognition of the kinds of, let's call them, forms of white complicity between English and Afrikaans white South Africans in the early part of the 20th century that Plaatje was particularly invested in.
You mentioned that for academics and scholars, there was this archival material, there was this magisterial biography and so on. What about ordinary? We're not ordinary. Citizens are not ordinary. What about non-academics and scholars, members of the general population who are interested in politics or in literature or the nexus between both? Is there any sense that Plaatje is being more read by the non-academic world?
Well, I think two texts in particular are of interest to what we might call a general readership, and that certainly speak to our contemporary moment. One of them was published in 1916, Native Life in South Africa, which was, of course, Plaatje's response consequences of the Native Land Act of 1912. So whenever we're thinking about the question of land a nationalization of land or redistribution of land, that takes us back inevitably to that kind of seminal moment in South African history. And so Plaatje's response to it, I think, is very vivid and contemporary when we think about debates over land in South Africa today. And then linked to that, of course, is a novel that he wrote in around about 1920, although it was only published in 1930, Moody, which is a very interesting mixture of, I suppose one could say, allegorical romance and also a form of kind of documentary realism that is giving an account of 19th century history, but that speaks to some of our short-sightedness, perhaps, around the history of British imperialism in South Africa, and also cycles of imperial conquest and displacement within the South Africa or between its peoples.
And there, unfortunately, Chris, we have to leave it. We're out of time. Chris Thurman, Associate Professor in the English Department at Wits.